This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emrys, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. Have you ever had an employee ask you how to fill out their W-4? Have you ever wondered how to do it yourself? Do you pay your kids through your business? And does it make more sense to do withholding or estimated payments? This week is all about withholding for you, your team, and your family. So share this one with your team, especially if you get asked these questions. And even if you haven't, they're probably wondering if they did it correctly or not. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you have any questions that you want answered on here or even answered in private, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis and be happy to answer your question. And hey, if you want to, and it's a good enough question, it'll be on the next mailbox episode, which I promise you is coming here in the next couple weeks. And lastly, I cannot forget our dedicated sponsor, Napatrax and Promotive, for being loyal supporters of the show. You guys have heard me talk about them. You've heard the ad reads that I've done so wonderfully. If you want to give them a shout out, if you're looking for a new shop management software, reach out to Napatrax and let them know that we sent you. And again, struggling to find out the right people to fit into your team. Maybe you've been hiring people, but they just haven't been the right fit on this. Leave it to the professionals. Give Promotive a call and let them do the heavy lifting for you. I know they can take care of you just like they have tons of other listeners. Thank you to Napatrax. Thank you to Promotive. And I hope you guys check them out if you need them.
Hey, did you know Napatrax is on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Visit them online at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com.
This week, I wanted to do kind of a combo episode. Most of the episodes that I have done, this is episode like 121 or something, which is crazy. But most of the stuff is directed at shop owners. But this one's a little bit different because this is truly an episode for shop owners, for their employees, for their family, and really any type of small business owner, anyone that pays taxes. I get so many questions about W-4, so many questions about withholding. And it's kind of sad because this is something that is supposed to be able to be done without anyone's help. And it seems like it's really overwhelming for a lot of people for good reason. If you went down through this, it's clear as mud. The form itself, like we'll talk about in a second, is fairly basic, but the instructions leave a little bit to be desired. If you get asked these questions, you don't know it yourself, you don't want your team to do something that they're going to regret, hopefully this episode will help clear some stuff out. Starting off, like I said, we got a couple different things that we can go through. All of this stuff is really going to be related to the W-4 form until we kind of get to the end where we talk about withholding versus estimated tax payments. When we go down through this, I am actually pulling up the official W-4 from the IRS's website. I will include a link in here in the show notes on this. It'll probably be helpful if you can listen to this episode without it, but when you're going to kind of fill this out or take a look at one, it really would be helpful to actually have that form up because I'm going to go down each of the steps and kind of go down through this. If you want to chop this up and only have a portion and give it to your team, you want to give them the whole thing on it, hey, whatever helps you guys. I know this stuff. I do this stuff all day, every day. This is for you guys to learn, and I want people to listen to every episode and at least be able to take something out. It might not be groundbreaking. Hopefully it is. But at least something you can say, hey, you know what? This was not a complete waste of my 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. However long this episode ends up being. We got this W-4 form up, and you're going to pause it real quick so that you can get your own W-4 form up so that you can follow along as well. But let's start off. Now, like I said before, this is a W-4 form. They update this every so often. Most of this is not updated very much. It'll change. If you look in the top right corner, you'll see 2024 on here. If you're listening to it this year, in probably, 8 months or so, they'll have one that says 2025 at the top, and they probably won't change a whole lot of anything. If you have not filled these out in probably 6+ years, it's going to be different. The idea is exactly the same, but this W-4 form has actually changed because so have our taxes. Do you remember we used to have something called exemptions? If you had a couple of kids, you would get more exemptions. If you were married, you get more exemptions on it. They kind of changed all of that in 2018. Exemptions have gone away. Child tax credit is still around and different things like that. The idea is really similar here, but a lot of people, especially if you've been working and filling these things out for your entire life, this new form kind of throws people for a loop because they're looking for exemptions and you're not going to find them. Another thing on this is they've actually simplified this. I'm using air quotes here. This is terrible podcasting, but hey, when we start recording video on these, you'll be able to kind of get that extra bit. This is truly a very easy form on this. The thing that makes this hard is a governmental employee wrote this. The instructions kind of stink on this, and it really just doesn't make much sense on how they do worksheets and hop around. Yeah, like I said, if you said, hey, Hunt, we'll give you $1,000 to make a new W-4 form, I could probably make one in just about maybe 30 minutes on this, and it's going to cover 99% of people. They got some stuff on here which is just not really applicable to most people and kind of confuses them, but I'll touch on that when we kind of get down through here. Overall, on this, you got to be looking at this from two different aspects. You are never going to hit this dead on, period, end of story. Now, you might. I don't know if I've ever seen a tax return that actually was zero, though. Like, no balance due, no refund. Even like when you play around with it, you play around depreciation, it's very hard to get it to zero. You're always either going to owe money or get a refund, even if it's a very small amount. The reason I kind of take a break before I get into this is you need to figure out which mindset that you're at. If you want to give the least amount of money during a year that you have to, then fine. But you better be good with your money and you better be diligent with your cash, because there's a good chance that you could owe money come April 15th. I feel like most people are in the opposite camp. Most people want to guarantee you that when they hit April 15th, they're at least getting money back. Maybe not a ton, but they're not owing money. A couple of these sections, I will tell you how we're going to kind of err one way or the other. Not as much, because this first time, we're just kind of going to go down through this and talk about from an employee's point of view. Maybe it's your employee, maybe it's someone that works for someone else. But someone that does not have outside income coming in and definitely does not have business income coming in. When we get to these sections, I'll kind of give you both sides. Hey, if you want to be conservative and make sure you get a refund, do this. If you want to be more aggressive, go this way. Personally, if you don't have a preference, you can use mine. I always err on the side of getting a refund. No one's ever going to be mad when they say, oh my God, I got a refund. I'm giving a tax-free loan to the government. Well, not entirely true. The government does pay interest, so it's not interest-free, I shouldn't say tax-free loan, interest-free loan to the government. And then realistically, if you weren't paying this in, would you actually be saving it and getting an interest on it? Or would you spend it and have a really bad problem come next April? Be mindful of yourself. Let's kind of go down through this, and we're going to start with section one or step one on here. And this is the easiest part of everything. You put your name, middle initial, last name, social security number, address, city, town, and zip code of where you live in. And then you check off single, married, married flying jointly, and head of household. Which one are you? I don't need to explain your names. I don't need to explain your address. I don't need to explain your social security number, but I am anyways. The biggest thing on here is making sure that social security number is correct. Triple check that. That is all I'm going to say. And then when you get this back, when you get any sort of forms back from your employer, make sure that they actually put in your social security number right. Period, period, period. Not going to beat a dead horse on that one. Make your social security number right. There's a little box on there that says, does your name match your social security card on there? If you change your name or something like that, then there could be some issues. They do have some name check stuff on there. I've never seen it come up. Unless you're changing your name somewhat regularly on there, I don't think that you're going to have any concern. This gets us to the first section that we actually have to start making choices here. Singled or married filing separately is one box. Married filing jointly or head of household. So we got three choices. If you are not married, you only have two choices. It's going to be single or head of household. What is head of household and who qualifies for that? A little bit convoluted in practice of really on the tax return, but I'll give it to you anyways. So first and foremost, do not check head of household unless you've talked to your accountant or you know that you file a tax return with head of household. Not a determination you want to make for yourself, and be a little bit careful with this. If you are single and you're not sure that you should be head of household and you don't have anyone to ask, just click single. That's always going to be the most conservative. That's always going to withhold a little bit more than doing head of household. Head of household means that you are not married, either completely single or legally separated or divorced, and you pay more than half the cost of keeping up a home for yourself and at least one qualifying person. You a single dad and you're divorced and you have full custody of one of your kids, you're head of household. You're single dad, you got split custody of a kid, you might qualify for it. Be a little bit careful on that. If you're married, it's pretty easy. If you're married, you're just going to want to do married on here. If your wife, husband, spouse makes money on here, we're going to talk a little bit more in the next section. But I will tell you right now, if you have a two-income household, meaning you make $80,000, your wife makes $80,000, you make $60,000, she makes $100,000, whatever it is, if you guys both have money coming into the household, you're almost always going to owe money if you don't do something over and above this. If you really want to make sure and you don't have a bunch of kids, you don't generally get that big of a refund on here, you can still click single even if you're married. The only thing to think about here is married is going to withhold a little bit less than single is. If you want to be conservative, even if you're married, even if you could be head of household, you could still check single for withholding. It does not mean that you're getting divorced. It's just withholding at a single rate. Single rate is going to be the highest withholding. Married filing jointly is going to be a little bit lower. Head of household is going to be the lowest. It kind of goes boom, boom, boom. As we're looking at it. Makes more sense, like I said, if you have this W-4 form up. The next one on here, if we're reading down through this, like I said, this gives instructions on here, but it starts to get a little bit complicated. Complete steps 2 to 4 only if they apply to you. Otherwise, skip to step 5. Step 2, step 3, and step 4 are something that might apply to you and they might not. If you don't have multiple jobs, if you're not married, if you don't have any dependents, then you can skip to step 5. If you're a single person right now with no kids, no outside income on here, then you're done. That's it. You're going to check single, you're going to sign a bottom, and you are absolutely done. If you have multiple jobs, your spouse works, you have kids, or other weird stuff going on here, you got to keep on listening. Like I said, this is only talking about employees. I'm going to kind of go back and highlight some of the things for owners and kids and stuff like that, but this is just for employees right now. Let's say that you have multiple jobs or your spouse works, you will see that you need to flip over to this worksheet. If you go to the worksheet, you can kind of figure out how to go down through here. 2 jobs, 3 jobs, higher paying jobs, lower paying jobs. Go down and read this stuff. It is not rocket science. If you get overwhelmed, just go back and read what you said again. This is supposed to be something that is done by yourself. And most of the time, when I end up helping people, I'm just reading the instructions to them and they're answering the questions, which is exactly what you could have done on this. I don't mind. Well, this is why we have clients. This is why we have a business. If I have someone that is wondering how to do this stuff, they can pick up the phone and call me. I can walk them through this, even to a certain extent, employees as well, too. This episode's for people that might not have that kind of access or don't want to bug their accountant to go down through some of these, which can be done yourself. More or less, what you're doing here is you're going down through this multiple jobs worksheet. And what is that going to do? Is that is going to kind of factor in your wages, your spouse wages, your other jobs wages, figure out who has the higher paying job, divide the annual amount, and then you're going to actually be able to put an amount down there on line 4C. What is line 4C on the first page? Extra withholding. Remember that. Essentially, you're going to go down through, and this is not even going to do exemptions amount. This is going to come up and it's going to say, hey, here's how much extra you should be taking out of each paycheck every single pay period. If you go to the next worksheet, you have another deductions worksheet on there and things like this. Be very, very careful on this deductions worksheet. If you do not own a home, don't worry about doing this deductions worksheet, period. Especially if you're married and you don't own a home, do not do this deductions worksheet. With the standard deduction going up as much as it has, most people are not itemizing anymore. And this deductions worksheet really all has to do with itemizing. And if you're taking the standard deduction on it, you don't need to give them any more information. They know what your deductions on your tax return are, and they're going to be able to figure that out. When I said, remember when you went down through this other form where it goes and puts in your other jobs and figures it out, it is not going to do anything other than to say, hey, you should take out an extra $100 a paycheck. You should take an extra $200 a paycheck out, whatever it is.
NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. They provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best wholesale support, hands down. They train your people on site. Yes, on site. They also offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give them a call, visit them, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. They'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for your business, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at napatrax.com. That's NapaTrax.com. Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from EuroClinic said, "I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid BTech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members." Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive.
I'm going to give you the Hunt simplified, easy way to do this. And this works if you're getting a new job, if you're keeping the same job, whatever. This relates to you as the owner, your kids, employees, everyone. If you are sitting here and you just got done your taxes and you said, "Man, I owe $5,000 this year in taxes. I'm not sure if it was my wife not withholding enough, it was me not withholding enough, but we didn't withhold enough. I need to go fill out the W-4 for again." Do you? Yes and no. Technically, your employer is not supposed to update this withholding without an updated W-4, but you can also go and tell them, "Hey, I want you to take out an extra X amount of dollars per pay period." This is going to be the easiest way to fix something. If you know where you're at and where you need to be, "I need to withhold an extra $3,000. I need to withhold an extra $6,000. Whatever it is, divide that by the amount of pay periods in the year or amount left in the year on it, and there you have it. If you're looking at someone that says, "I underwithheld by $5,000, I'm not going to go to try to mess around with this and mess around with the deductions and figure out what it is, because it's still a shot in the dark. You're not going to know how much it's going to go up or down until probably a couple months down the road, or maybe even the end of year at tax time. If I'm sitting here and saying, "Man, I just owed an extra $5,000 this year and I don't want this to happen again," all I'm going to do is I'm going to take, all right, $5,000 divided by 52 pay periods in a year, and it works out to be just under $100. You owed $5,000 last year. Tell your employer, say, "Can you withhold an extra $100 from my federal every single paycheck?" And you'll be good to go. If you are filling this out for the first time and it's just truly a shot in the dark on this, I recommend going down that worksheet. It's not rocket science on it, and you're not going to have anything to compare to. If you don't really want to mess with this and you're like, "Hunt, what is kind of a decent thing to do if me and my spouse both work and kind of afraid we're going to be under withheld?" If you want to just kind of be easy on this and you don't want to do anything, both of you guys do single. Do not do any other exemptions. Do not claim any dependents on here. Just do single and sign at the bottom. Do it for you. Do it for your spouse. Both of you guys. The both of you is a very, very important thing here. Yeah, you don't know how many times I've went to go through tax returns and called a client and said, "Man, I owe how much money?" It's like, well, your husband made $146,000 on his payroll and had a whopping $1,200 withheld on it. Yeah, withholding issues or lack thereof are a common thing. Like I said, multiple jobs, look at the worksheet, go through it, take your time on it. It's not that crazy. If you have a number that you're trying to go for, don't do that worksheet. Don't spend any extra time. Just go down to 4C and just say, "Want an extra $50 a period, want an extra $100 a period." I even have some people that do this as kind of a forced savings account. I'm not sure if I completely can get behind that idea on it, but hey, the government's probably not going to steal this money, and I guarantee you that they're not going to let you touch in the meantime. If that's how you save money, that's how you save money. Let's go to step three, claim dependents and other credits. This one is fairly simple. If you want to be conservative here and you want to make sure that you're not going to owe any money, then if you have one kid, maybe you don't put anything in there and just say, let's pretend like I don't have a kid. I know I'm going to get a little bit extra credit at the end of the year. Or maybe you have three kids and you're only going to claim two of them on this form. Again, that's going to be conservative. Generally with Section 3 for kids though, you don't play around with that. As an employee, owners, self-employed people, we're going to talk about you in a second. This is pretty straight up. Multiply the number of qualifying children under 17. So how many kids or dependents do you have under 17? 16 or younger. All of you, if you got four of them, you multiply it by $2,000. Instructions are right there. And you multiply that times four. So you get $8,000 in there. You put $8,000 on line three. You're done. The way the child tax credit works is if they're 16 or younger, you get $2,000 for them. If they're 17 and older, you only get $500. You got four kids that are under 17. You got eight grand there. You got two other kids that are 17 and 19. You're going to get two times 500, which is an extra $1,000. Total for Section 3, $9,000. Really on this one, like I said, how many kids you got? How old are they? Fill it out. Don't play around with it. Step four, like it says on here, is optional. Line A is something that I wouldn't even touch. That's other income, not from jobs. I don't think that anyone on here is going to be filling this out. If you're going to have outside income that's not from something that's going to have withholding on it, talk to your accountant and figure this out. I've really never seen anyone fill that out that should have. I've seen a ton of people try to put stuff in there and completely go wonky on this. If you're not sure, just leave it blank. Period, period, period. What that would be is, let's say that you knew that you were going to get $10,000 in dividends this year. You could put it on there, but then if you got $10,000 in dividends this year and you didn't get any next year, you'd have to update the W-4. Just not super common to put on there. Step four, number or letter B, is deductions. On deductions, like I said, there is a worksheet on there and you go and you fill out that deductions worksheet. If you are not very savvy on this stuff, if you're not sure if you itemize or not, just leave deductions alone. Again, this is something that really for most people, employers, owners, everyone, I wouldn't put anything in here. If you do have enough deductions where it's really going to make a difference on it, you're going to know it. But realistically, 4A and 4B, very, very, very seldom used. If you have something in there, especially a good bit, really question that because we really don't see much in 4A or 4B. Last thing on here is 4C. That is the extra withholding. That is very, very common. Most of these that we see filled out have marital status checked at the top and maybe something in that C for extra withholding. That is it. The second most common place would be in the dependents and stuff like this. But in step four, really the only thing you should probably be doing is the extra withholding if you need it. Like I said, if you have already filled this one out and you want to just update it, essentially you just fill it out the same way you did the first time, add something on C, sign it, give it to your employer, and you're done. But that's it, truly. And for most people that have a not very complicated tax situation on this, you probably just check in single, married, or head of household, sign the bottom, and being done with it. It's that easy, and if you do it that way on it, you're probably going to be just fine. Most everything else that you fill on here would be to withhold stuff at a higher rate on it. There is some of these, like the kids, is going to withhold it at a lower rate on this. In the absence of kind of some weirder, more technical issues on here, that's going to be the end-all, be-all for most employees that are not self-employed, don't have outside income. We went through a lot of stuff here. And just about everything that we talked about is going to be the exact same for you shop owners, or if you're self-employed, you got other income coming elsewhere, whatnot. This is super, super common, and I'm going to kind of give you two big things on here. One, to do it in practice, and then kind of a way out there push that might be helpful for you guys as well too. Think about this when you are self-employed. Let's say that you make $50,000 on payroll and your business generally makes another $50,000 or $100,000. Whatever it is, you're only withholding on your paycheck, none of your business income has any taxes paid against it. If you are self-employed, I'm going to throw the aggressive side out the window. There is never a situation where you should err on the side of under-withholding if you have outside business income. It's dumb. You're hoping that you can over-withhold on your paycheck, so even if you kind of missed the mark a little bit on your planning for your business income, you maybe have a little bit extra to catch. But if you under-withheld on your paycheck and you already owe taxes just on your payroll wages alone, imagine once you add the business income on top. It's really going to be a bloodbath. When I'm going down through here, if I generally owe money because I'm a business owner, I'm going to fill it out like so. I'm going to check the single box. Even if I'm married, even if I'm head of household, if I generally owe money and have some decent business income coming in, I'm going to do single. And generally, most of the time, I'm going to do single zero. What does single zero mean? It means I'm going to check single, not going to put anything in any of the other boxes. I'm going to sign the bottom and I'm done. If you are self-employed and you got some business money on there, that is probably going to be your best bet on there. If your business doesn't make a whole lot of money and maybe even loses money on here, yeah, then you can go and you can fill this out just like we talked about in the previous kind of section there was employees would fill this out. But for most of you guys that are self-employed and have business income, do single, zero, and that's it. The only thing I will ever advocate for self-employed people and having payroll is to withhold more. Like I said, I'm never going to err on the side of withholding less because it's probably not the right move on this. A lot of my clients, though, use their withholding to pay in a good bit of their taxes, and in some cases, even all of their taxes in a year. If you wanted to, you could actually pay in your federal and state taxes by just doing it all through extra withholding. Now, remember, this is only a federal withholding W-4. There's separate ones for the states. All states are a little bit different, but it's the same general idea, and a lot of times much, much more simplified. Let's say that you make around $60,000 a year on payroll. You just talk to your accountant says, man, you need to pay $10,000 a quarter for the feds and $5,000 a quarter for the state to pay in your estimated taxes. You can do that, and there's going to be four big chunks coming out of your bank account throughout the year. What you can also do is you could also say, hey, I'm going to be paying in $40,000 to the feds. I get paid every other week. That's going to be about $1,500 a week or a payroll in extra withholding. Whether you want to make four payments of $10,000 or you want to essentially contribute $1,500 every single pay period to it, the IRS looks at this the exact same. If you have big estimated tax payments and you are still getting a net check from payroll on here, then I really advise you to get rid of that paycheck. And when I say get rid of that paycheck, I don't mean get rid of your actual pay, but your net check is probably going to go away. For me personally, the way that I do this is I am on payroll through my company. I'm not going to tell you how much I make, not going to tell you how much I withhold on here, but I am being dead serious on how I do this. I get paid throughout the year on this. I do not ever get a net paycheck. 100% of my payroll goes to federal withholding and Maryland withholding. It's just how I do it. It's a lot easier. I'd prefer to be kind of just spread out throughout the year than larger chunks. A lot of times I still have to throw in a couple chunks at the end of the year or spread out through the year, depending on how business goes. But I know that every single year I'm going to have a good bit paid in there that is going to give me a good bit of a cushion. I advise the same thing for you guys. It's going to be hard to kind of figure out the exact dollar amount on here. Like I said, this is probably only for owners where you're not even filling out this W-4 because you're probably telling the payroll company or your payroll person or yourself of just filling this out. But essentially, all you want to do is just kind of mess with this until your paycheck gets down to pretty close to zero. Probably never going to be able to get to zero, but you know, you're getting a direct deposit of $1, be it. But like I said, if you're an owner, you're going to do this single, zero, nothing is fine. If you want to kind of get rid of or reduce the amount of those quarterly payments, throw a bunch of extra withholding on there and make $60,000 on salary, maxed out your retirement, all the rest of it goes to withholding. You're probably in a pretty, pretty sweet bucket there. And that's how a ton of my clients do it. Last one on here, before we wrap this up, and I'm cursing at myself because I told Tracy it's going to be a short one. And I think she's used to me saying that, and it never is usually the case, but we are almost done here. What do you do with your kids? This is such a common question. This thing really kind of bugs me when I see this. not because I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed for my clients. Let's say that little Johnny works at the snack bar this summer, or maybe even works for you at the shop, whether he shows up or not. That's between you and him. Little Johnny makes $6,000 this year. Anyone that makes under 14 grand or so is not going to pay any tax. That's what the standard deduction is. If you're making under $14,000, you're not going to pay any tax. Client wraps up at the end of the year and sends me in little Johnny's pay stub, and I look at it and go, oh, man. They got the federal, right? They didn't withhold anything for federal, but for California, they withheld $38. Why does that stink? Because little Johnny deserves that $38 back, but it probably is cost prohibitive to do this. Even if you are going to go and you're going to file this on TurboTax, you're going to spend more than $38 to do it. And we are definitely going to charge more than doing that for clients. If it's something really simple, we do have kind of a minimum fee for our kids' clients' tax returns. I will make exceptions on it. These are not really rocket science tax returns on it, but I have to kind of defend why we charge for it. Someone that makes $105,000 a year, doesn't have any kids, doesn't own a house on it, it's going to take me the same amount of time to enter that tax return, review that tax return, assemble that tax return, send that tax return out than it is for little Johnny that only made $4,000. I get it. The numbers are smaller. There's less of an impact on it, but the entire process still takes virtually the same amount of time. That's what it is. What should you be doing on here? How should you be filling this out? I was actually just had a little pause here because I was looking down at this W-4 and shows that I haven't looked at this a while, but there used to be a box on here that is no longer on here called exempt. What you're going to do is if you know that your kid, between working for you and or working for you and someone else or just working for someone else, is going to make less than $14,000 total in a year, they are going to be what's called exempt. There is not a box on here to check for exempt. There used to be on the old W-4 form on here. What I would probably want you to do is if it's your kid and you're the one running payroll on here, you still technically have to fill out a W-4. What I would do is I would fill out the name, address, social security number, where it says single, married, filing jointly head of household, right? Check one of those and then just write really big exempt, right? Even if you're going to write it in Sharpie over the whole thing, exempt, do not withhold, especially if you're giving it to someone else that is your payroll processor. If they're working for someone else on it, again, do the same thing. Just let them know, hey, I'm exempt from withholding. Do not withhold, do not withhold, do not withhold. And just keep on repeating that. Now, how do you tell? Little Johnny, when you get your first pay stub on there, you should not see any federal withholding, any state withholding. If you do, tell your employer, make sure that they do not withhold. I implore you guys, there is tens and hundreds of dollars squandered every year, either because people don't know that they were below the threshold to get that money back, or like I said, there are situations where it just does not make sense to file that return just to get a couple dollars back. Make sure the withholding's not done. Make sure they're not withholding on this. Please, 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 please. Now, yes, little Johnny's going to have withholding for Social Security and withholding for Medicare. That is okay. We are not going to withhold anything for income tax. Got it? Great. I hope this was helpful. And the next time you get asked these questions, just send them this episode and have them do it for themselves. Remember, right or wrong, what they fill out on here is what you have to do. The last thing that you want is a tax surprise for yourself, your family, or your team. Like I said, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, please shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Thanks again for joining me on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening app. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.